Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
At some point, the government will run out of money. At some point, the government will run out of money.
Yeah. So, an 89-year-old man who survived wounding on Okinawa in World War II, a little man named Shorty, was beaten to death by two blacks and died. A 22-year-old white male beaten to death in Oklahoma, and on it goes, and not a word out of the White House. He's on a bus tour. So, you know, I could go light, I could go heavy, I could do the easy way, I could do the hard way, I could do both ways. I think I'll do both ways. I'll do both ways now that you know what's boiling under the surface, that we have an overt fill-in-the-blank in the White House. Now, he could stop most of this violence against whites in this country. So could Eric Holder. See, the president holds a very powerful and persuasive position. He's the president of the United States, and many people believe in him. All he's got to do is get up and say and pound that podium. I want to speak right now to those of you out there who are getting out of control. You will be pursued to the ends of the earth. You will face hate crimes. You'll spend the rest of your life in prison. If ever you do this again, we'll catch you, if any of you do it. You're going away for life. But he didn't say that. No, he didn't say that. Now I'll do the light. I was watching the Discovery Channel last night, and I stumbled upon a science show about the effects of drugs on your brain. I like those shows. It shows you, you know, the inner workings, the graphics of the neurons. And I heard a somewhat familiar voice narrating how marijuana impairs your mind and how cocaine damages your heart. And then I learned it was Robin Williams narrating. So I chuckled to myself in bed, and Teddy turned over and laughed. And I thought, what's next from the media? Will it be Lindsay Lohan narrating the effects of alcohol on your brain? Or how about this from the media geniuses? How about Paris Hilton doing a show narrating the effects of nymphomania on your brain? Or we might see a show one day on Al Gore lecturing on the effects of lying and greed on your neurons. How about one on Obama narrating the effects of incompetence and fraud on your soul? Or we could see one day of Harvey Weinstein narrating the effects of saturating the movies with sex and violence and the such effects on the brain. Perhaps one day we'll see Al Sharpton narrating the effects of racial division in America on the brain, or Anthony Weiner could narrate for Discovery Channel the effects of moral degeneracy on the human brain. That was the light part of the show. 855-400-7282. Why do you think Obama is saying nothing about the Australian student Chris Lane, who was executed during a gang initiation by two blacks? Why do you think Obama is saying nothing about the poor old 89-year-old man who was wounded in Okinawa during World War II, who was pummeled and beaten to death by black teens? Here's some other stories for you. We'll go light and heavy. Meanwhile, a Department of Homeland Security so-called employee, who is a black male, maintains an anti-white, anti-gay site. Did you hear about this? This is a man who's charged by the Department of Homeland Security to buy guns and ammunition for immigration and customs agents. He maintains a website that is virulently anti-white and anti-gay. It masquerades as an entertainment site. The Atlantic Wire reported, for example, I'm not going to read you what he calls Obama because it's disgusting. I wouldn't even read it. I will not read it. It has to do with Obama's race. Now, he's a black male. Now, this man works for you. He works for the DHS. He's not been fired. He believes white people. Well, here's what he said. He said, we're going to have to kill a lot of whites. Warfare is imminent, and in order for black people to survive the 21st century, he says we're going to have to kill a lot of whites, more than our Christian hearts can possibly count. This gentleman who works for Janet Napolitano and Barack Obama has a website where he says white people are trying to homosexualize black men in order to make them more effeminate and weaker. He then praises laws in some African countries that criminalize LGBT behavior. He also so advocates the supremacy of black men above black women. And he's not been fired. Not only has he not been fired, my suspicion is he will soon be given a more important position under Eric Holder. He probably will go to the head of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, which is where he belongs. I don't think they think much differently than him in some quarters of this administration. Bored teen who randomly gunned down the white baseball player tweeted his desire to kill days earlier, and a local father said that it was a gang initiation. The president says he knows nothing about this murder. Listen to clip number one.
I don't think it was for fun. I don't think it was at random. I think it was the initiation. Because I understand that after that happened, there's a list that so-called pops up with my name, my son's name at the top of the list and four that they was going to bump off. A couple of people came to me and shared that information with me. I don't go a lot on hearsay, but on this one, I went with it.
Why do you think Eric Holder is silent on this murder and on the murder today of an 89-year-old white male who survived Okinawa in World War II, beaten to death in a parking lot in Spokane? Why are they silent? I'm asking you. The White House says they're not familiar with the Chris Lane murder. Do you have that soundbite? Let's see. They're not familiar with it. Never heard about it. I don't know what number that is.
Do you have any reaction to the Christopher Lane case?
I'm not familiar with it, actually. Well, just that this sounds like a pretty tragic case. I wouldn't want to get ahead of the legal process here, and it's clear that law enforcement officials are involved or investigating.
You moron, you. You idiot, you. That's the best you can do. You came out of a college, you putz, you. They taught you how to put a Windsor knot on your neck, you idiot, you. Not familiar with it. The whole country knows about it. I think I've gone too heavy. I tried the jokes. I don't know. I'm not in a joke mood. I'm not really. Oh, how about this one? Here's another story that got me this morning. The Roman Catholic Church will make a major push to grant amnesty to millions and millions of illegal aliens next month. Catholic bishops and priests from major dioceses across the nation will preach in favor of amnesty that will include advertising and phone calls directed at Catholic lawmakers and marches where the issue is controversial. So I have a question for you. Here's my question for you. Catholics, how do you feel about your church pushing for amnesty for illegal aliens, number one? And number two, do you think they're doing it out of compassion or to fill the pews? That's all. Am I allowed to ask the question? The last time I did, I was attacked by the Catholic League. After supporting them for 10 straight years, I dared step out of line and ask one question. I got ripped apart by the Catholic League. That's the way the world works. Thank God we still have free speech. Here's another little article for you potheads out there. Don't worry, it's kosher. An Orthodox rabbi in Israel says medical marijuana is kosher. Rabbi Ephraim Zalmanovich, a prominent Orthodox rabbi from the Israeli town of Mazaret Batya, has issued a religious ruling declaring medical marijuana to be perfectly kosher. So he's obviously himself a pothead. And, of course, disguising it under the guise of medicine. Unbelievable how you can twist a religion. Unbelievable how you can twist it. What would you like to talk about? WABC Daniel, New York City, you want me to go in another direction. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, my apartment burned down 2 months ago. The news is so depressing. I need something to make me feel good. I always loved when you talked about Teddy because, let me tell you, dogs, I mean, my dog died 10 years ago. I mean, they are the best. And I just need to feel good because I've been so down, Mike. We got a president that doesn't feed.
I know. Obama could put people into a mental hospital. The man is so bad. But I can't get into it. You got white men being knocked off across the country, and he says nothing. He certainly was vocal about the Zimmerman case, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. Would you
like Teddy to bark about these tragedies that are going on, this little low-grade race war that has been ignited by certain forces in the country? I can have Teddy do a bark fest for you,
yeah,
if you'd like. All right. Thank you. How am I going to make you happy if your house burned down? What can I do about that? Can't do anything about it. This is the Savage Nation, which is the last word in talk radio. The phone number is 855-407-2282. Now, I imagine of the number of listeners, you don't know how many there are, really. No one really knows. It's a guesstimate. But let's say it's a large audience on 200 stations, whatever. So in that audience, you got every type of person, some listening in a car, some listening on a couch. I don't know where people listen to. A lot on the internet. My show is number one on the internet and radio. That's an undeniable fact, no matter what anyone may say. But then you got people, I would imagine, in a car right now listening in a rainstorm somewhere with a windshield wiper going back and forth. And they've just gotten off work somewhere. It could be a woman, a waitress. She's exhausted. She's sweaty. She can't stand herself. She's dying to get home and take a shower. And she doesn't want to hear music. She doesn't know what she wants to hear. She feels like she has ADD and bugs are crawling on her skin. And she's scanning the dials, and she hears this voice, and she says, who is this guy? What's he talking about? I never heard this guy before. What is he talking about? Why do I like him? Why do I like him? You know why you like me? Listen carefully, because I'm giving you the truth. I'm telling you what's going on in your world. I do not work for one of the major networks. I'm an independent-minded talk show host. We're talking about news events of the day that are shaping the present and the future of America, and the most incompetent, divisive president in American history. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Where's your emergency? He was standing in the roadway and he fell over, and as I come by, he just fell over in the ditch. The man that's come around the corner off of Twilight Beach said he's been shot. He's turning blue, he said.
Is he talking to you right now?
No, he's just, that's all he's doing.
We need an ambulance to start to Plato in Twilight Beach. We have a male that says he has been shot and he's bleeding in the back.
He's not conscious. Is he still breathing? Barely. I hear no sirens. I see no lights. Oh, my gosh, how long is it going to be?
Ma'am, all I know is they're coming. I can't make them go any faster, okay? I've got them on the way.
Has he stopped breathing? Yes. Yes, they said he has. Finally, here's some police.
Yeah. Bored teen who randomly gunned down this young white male tweeted his desire to kill days earlier. At first, the rats in the media reported that it was just bored teens out for a little sport. But actually, one of the black teens who allegedly gunned down the Australian white student tweeted, it's time to start taking lives in the days before the murder. James Edwards Jr., 15, tweeted a disturbing message 3 days before 23-year-old Christopher Lane was shot dead as he jogged on a Duncan, Oklahoma road. He also tweeted this, Edwards. Apparently, the moron knows how to tweet. 90% of white people are nasty. I hate them. Edwards and Chancey Allen Luna, 16, have been charged with murder, while Michael Dwayne Jones, 17, who was driving the car they were in, was charged with accessory after the fact to murder. Now, I expect in New York City they will attack the police for arresting the alleged shooters and murderers, saying that it was racial profiling. My suspicion is that the candidates for mayor, all of them, in Manhattan right now, Quinn and the other fools, will no doubt say that the police in Oklahoma are racists and that they use racial profiling to arrest these poor innocent teens. That's what I would suspect. The police said the teens told them they were bored, so they decided to kill somebody. Huh. Meanwhile, it's been revealed that the teens were quickly nabbed because they allegedly threatened to murder a 17-year-old who wouldn't join their offshoot of the Crips gang. This is in the middle of the heartland of America. Now, we have a soundbite of a father whose son was also threatened, a black man, James Johnson, who called the police on Chris Lane's killers. This guy has a lot of courage because they were out to get his son because he wouldn't join a gang. Listen to clip two.
All that gang stuff, man, you're asking the wrong person. I don't know. They grew up together. These guys are all buddies and kin folks and buds, you know what I mean? They all grew up together. Like I said, these kids can be good kids. They are good kids. They just don't have any male figures in their lives. No men. You can't give kids that kind of liberty to go do what they want to with no restraints whatsoever. Do what you want, when you want, and how you want.
Right. Now, since they have no father figure, President Obama is their father figure. President Obama is the man they look up to. President Obama has the power to get on that podium and look them in the eye and everyone in America and say in no uncertain terms, now you listen to me. You listen to me. Anyone who does a vile thing like this will track you to the ends of the earth. You will never, ever see the light of day again. It is despicable for you to do that to innocent people. He could put a stop to this, but he hasn't. Instead, he's on a bus tour somewhere. I don't know what he's doing on the bus tour. I thought he was still on vacation, but apparently took time out of his vacation to do a little fundraising. This young man said that they threatened to kill his son because they're in a gang. And I told my son he couldn't run with these boys. Yesterday, public schools in that town were on heightened alert after police said they learned of anonymous threats. There's not much more you could say about it. Not much more at all. The only thing that I dread is the circus that's going to follow with regard to the trial when out-of-town, crazed leftist lawyers from Columbia University come out to defend these murderers. When the vermin in the ACLU, when the rats in the ACLU, when the rats in the ACLU come out and say that they're poor, misunderstood teens, that's what I'm dreading more than anything. That's what I'm dreading. Now we have a new one. 89-year-old World War II veteran beaten to death by two black teens. Died. Take a look at him. He's on a Drudge Report. A little guy named Shorty. Can you imagine if it was your grandfather who fought valiantly for America during one of the worst battles in the history of World War II on Okinawa, survived being wounded, comes back to America, he's retired, playing pool in some, you know, little hall, pool hall, and these kids come and beat him up for nothing because he's a white guy? Can you imagine how you'd feel? Not one word from Hollywood. Not one word from the administration. Meanwhile, a Homeland Security employee, a black male, is preparing for a coming race war. He has a full website. All right, well, look. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. I'll give you all the news headlines if you can take it when I come back. If you're in a car with the windshield wipers flapping, and if you feel like turning into oncoming headlights, please don't do so. If you're having the urge to turn into oncoming headlights on a rainy road, please do not do so. I'll entertain you, I promise.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, I think the world has gone off its axis. Not only are there race murders going on in America with a giant silence from Obama, from Holder, from the media. Here's a guy, Bradley Manning, the soldier convicted of the biggest leak of classified documents in history, sentenced to 35 years in the slammer. Now he suddenly says he wants to serve as a woman, that he's really a woman trapped in a man's body, and he wants a gender reassignment, her hormone therapy. Sex reassignment surgery for gender identity disorder. You hear this? What is he feeling, that the woman inside of him will be innocent? And it was really the evil man in him that was guilty? I mean, this guy's really crazy. So his lawyer, David Coombs, said if the military did not accommodate his psycho client's desire to become a woman, he would do everything in my power to force them to. Okay, I have no other comment other than the sarcasm in my tone, what I would like to do to that lawyer. Private First Class Bradley Manning poses wearing a wig. Not bad looking, truthfully. I mean, the truth is, this guy would have been better off if he was a woman. I saw an article on common symptoms of ADD and ADHD in women from healthcentral.com. And I was thinking not of Bradley Manning, but I said how crazy this has become. Look at what they call ADD and ADHD symptoms. Ladies, listen carefully. Do you have difficulty with boring, repetitive tasks? See a shrink. He may prescribe Ritalin for you or Adderall. Do you spend a lot of time thinking things through called ruminating? You're sick. You now have ADD. Do you have difficulty making decisions like 99% of humanity? No, the doctors, the quacks call it ADD, ADHD. You need medication. Do you have difficulty sitting still because your back hurts? You have ADD. Go to a doctor. Do you have difficulty falling asleep and waking up the next morning? See a doctor. See a crackpot. Do you start projects, but you seem unable to finish them like 99% of the world? You may have ADD, ADHD, according to the crackpots. Do you engage in addictive behaviors? You may have ADD, ADHD, according to the crackpots. Do you have low self-esteem, like 99% of humanity? You may have ADD, ADHD. See a doctor. Are you hypersensitive to criticism? You may have ADD, ADHD. See a crackpot and get a drug. Are you emotionally charged and easily upset? You're not really just a normal woman. You may have a disease. You may have ADD, ADHD. See a crackpot. Get drugs. Do you say things without thinking, like 99% of humanity? You may have a disease called ADD, ADHD, according to the crackpots. See a crackpot and get a drug. Do you appear to be self-absorbed, ladies? No, you're not just self-absorbed like most of humanity. You may have a disease. You may be a victim of ADD, ADHD. You may be qualified for a drug. Do you have poor math and writing skills? It's not because you're a dummy. It's because you have ADD and ADHD. See a quack. He'll give you a prescription for a dangerous drug. Do you have poor handwriting? It's not because you have poor handwriting, because you have no self-control and you're too lazy to learn how to write properly. It's because you may have a disease. See a crackpot with a medical degree. He'll tell you you have ADD or ADHD and give you a drug. Orthodox rabbi says medical marijuana is kosher. A schmuck. What a schmuck. Unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me the brainwashing that's going on. The biggest drug dealer, the biggest South American drug lord of the 80s, Carlos Leader, I saw a show on him the other day. He said that he was a narco, dealer, one of the most vicious of all. And he was vehemently anti-American. And whether he meant it or not, he said that one of the things I'm doing in flooding America with drugs, marijuana and cocaine, he said, is a revolutionary act to enslave the population. Now you have legions of morons who have bought into the big lie about medical marijuana without realizing that it's part of the addiction, the entire addiction of an entire nation, the criminal addiction of an entire nation under the guise of medication. That's what you're witnessing. The madness, it's a madness. It's a madness. Because if they really got relief from marijuana, they would take Marinol. They wouldn't damage their lungs with marijuana smoke. You would take a prescription drug called Marinol, which is the which contains the active principle of marijuana, and you'd get the relief you're looking for. You wouldn't smoke that filthy, damaging, toxic smoke known as marijuana smoke. That's all. It's unbelievable how stupid people are and how gullible. Gullible. You want to talk about that? Let's get a pothead on the show. Here, we got a pothead. Wes from Redding, California, KQMS. Wes, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, you there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Yeah, cool. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, far from a pothead, I'm an entrepreneur. I have a couple businesses, and...
Yeah, right. And how'd you make the money to start the businesses? By growing pot?
No, far from. I'd like to not, elaborate here, but the situation is I'm just curious, are you pro-Bayer? Are you pro-Monsanto?
What does Monsanto have to do with marijuana, idiot?
What are you pro?
What are you linking one to the other? Let's talk about marijuana. Are you aware of the toxic elements of marijuana smoke? Let's start with the basics.
Okay.
Are you or aren't you? What do you mean, okay? What kind of answer is that?
Oh, excuse me.
Are you aware of the toxic elements of marijuana smoke? That's all I'm asking.
Of smoke, yes, I am, definitely. But I'm
of which, wait, sir, which smoke?
Toxic side.
Okay, so why is it that all of these fools who claim they need medical marijuana don't take Marinol, which contains the active ingredient which will give them the relief they claim they get from it? Why are they risking lung cancer by smoking marijuana? It's not for medical reasons, it's to get high.
Well, the smoking portion of it, I would believe, is lack of information. Because there's other ways that you can also get it. Cold pressing.
I just said that to you. So why don't they take the medication that contains the active ingredient, tetrahydrocannabinol? Why don't they just take a medication that contains that?
Marinol, I believe, is made by pharmaceutical companies. Is that not the truth?
So what are you leading to? Everything made by a pharmaceutical company is evil?
Well, not necessarily.
Well, most of humanity wouldn't have survived childhood without pharmaceuticals, incidentally. Are you telling me you never took an antibiotic in your childhood?
How many children have died from Tylenol?
Wait, no, don't change the subject. Don't change the subject. You're showing your ignorance. Were you ever given an antibiotic in your childhood?
Not very, very rarely. If I, was...
I didn't say rare. I said, were you ever? That's not the correct answer.
Yes, okay.
So that means, yes, you were, you were given an antibiotic. When you get a rotten tooth, what does a doctor give you? Chicken feathers and menstrual blood of a chicken and dance in a circle, or he gives you an antibiotic?
He gives the antibiotic.
Was he dance in a circle with menstrual blood and chicken feathers and go, was he give you a tetracycline?
And
you stupid idiot. Get off my show. You're wasting my time. Reminds me of the idiots I used to have to teach when I can't take teaching for that reason. I had to leave it from the idiots sitting in the audience, stoned and drunk out of their minds. Anyway, I made my point. You want to give yourself lung cancer, be my guest. If you really wanted the medical benefits, so-called, of THC, you'd take it in a pill. You wouldn't be smoking that toxic, poisonous weed, which is grown with fertilizers and pesticides. It is decimating Northern California. The streams are destroyed. The forests are destroyed. The wildlife is destroyed. All of you green liars, you. You've decimated the forest with your pot growing. You liars, you hypocrites, you. So, anyway, that's all I'm going to say on the marijuana. There's nothing more to say. Youngstown, Ohio. Great city, Youngstown. WKBN, David, you're on the Savage Nation from Ohio. What's on your mind?
The Catholic situation where you said that the Catholic Church is lobbying for legalization.
Yeah, heavily, heavily pushing for amnesty for 30, 50, 70 million illegal aliens. What do you think about that?
Well, the pews need filled. More needs to go into the collection basket. I know that even, and they're closing churches, too. So it's coming from both the Vatican and I bet at the, you know, the diocese's level. Because here in Cleveland, there was a situation where a bunch of Catholic churches were being forced to close by Vatican order.
So it's a business decision. It's not a spiritual decision. And yet they're pushing it as though it's a matter of humanity. Catholic bishops and priests across the country are going to start preaching in favor of amnesty. Advertising, phone calls directed at Catholic lawmakers, and prayer marches in districts where the issue is controversial. And we know what this is. It's embarrassing. First of all, let me start at the top. It's illegal. It is illegal for the churches to be doing this. But because they're in cahoots with Obama, they're getting away with it. It is crossing a line of a separation of church and state, is it not? And yet the rats in the ACLU, who every time they see an ACLU monument, they want to blow it up or jackhammer it out, have nothing to say when a bunch of Catholic, you know, activists are pushing for amnesty simply because they want their pews filled?
They want to look good, too. They want to be compassionate.
I hear you've been listening to the show for a while. You've learned how to pull, you learned how to pull the S's, huh?
I love your show. It's the highlight of my night.
I think we should emphasize the ah in the compassionate. They want to look compassionate.
Right.
They want to look compassionate.
One more question.
What is it?
I have the vitamin C crystals. What's the best way to dissolve them? I've shaken so hard. I don't want to put them in hot tea because of that. What's the best way?
Oh, okay, no, it's a very good question. It's hard to dissolve. Let's say you're taking a powdered vitamin C ascorbate. Fine, great stuff. I've lived on it for 40 years. And so have my children, and many people have been saved with it if they know how to use it. Many different ways. Cold water is hard. It will not go into solution rapidly. A little warm water is pretty good. Tea isn't the bad way if you like tea. But if you don't have time for the tea, just run some warm tap water out of your sink. I mean, in Youngstown, of course, that's risking a toxic death. But warm water would work. So that's the answer. That's all. One flat teaspoon is approximately 4,000 milligrams or 4 grams, David. Thanks for the call. Medical treatment already. All right, whatever. It's your show. 855-407-282. 855-407-282. 855-407-SAVAGE. MichaelSavage.com. 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 No gender reassignment surgery for Bradley Manning. Crazy. What a crazy world. The guy gets caught as a spy. He's given 35 years, suddenly tells us he was a woman trapped in a man's body, and he wants gender reassignment surgery from the Army at York. Well, they could give him gender reassignment surgery by cutting his head off. Then he would be out of his agony, don't you think? Just cut his head off, then he wouldn't be in this agony anymore. It's cheaper than turning him into a woman. The Army provides no sex change surgery or hormone therapy because it's an evil institution. See, the Army is very evil because it's really given to protecting America, not to doing the social bidding of the psychotic, verminous left. 855-407-282. Who's calling now? We got New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I got great calls. I'm not depressed. I can't explain my mood. It's a weird mood. I was off yesterday. It was a replay. It was a good replay. It was so good that many of my friends called to tell me they liked my show. They thought I was on the air. That's how good my best ofs are. They're better than most live shows. But look, the news is very agitating and depressing. When you see this guy Shorty, you know, that's a heartbreak. Okay, it's bad enough being a 22-year-old kid getting whacked for no reason by the black guys who wanted to, you know, a gang initiation, shoot a white guy. That's a hate crime. They should be given the death sentence. Now an 89-year-old guy who survives a battle on Okinawa, retired playing pool and gets beaten up by two black teens? Not one word from the media? Not one word from Obama who's on his bus tour? That's very disturbing. It's heartbreaking and disturbing because you start to say to yourself, this interracial violence of black on white is becoming an epidemic. It's not just two cases here. There are quite a few, by the way. And there's a reason for it. There's somehow a wink-wink coming from on top, isn't there? Or not? Maureen in Pennsylvania on WILK. Fire away. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. How are you? I want to tell you that President Obama is probably maybe about 10 minutes away from my house tomorrow, and I won't be going to see him. I'm so not happy with him right now.
Okay, well, let's forget Obama for the moment. What's your other topic, the main reason you call the Savage Nation?
Well, the reason that I'm not happy with Obama is I'm so disgusted with hypocrisy. I followed the George Zimmerman trial like probably nobody that I know.
Okay, so what is your main point? Please get to your main point, Maureen, please. I'm so short of time. It's not that I'm trying to be rude. I don't have ADD, but I need to move on.
The point is, it bothers me so much that...
All right, thanks for the call. I almost got ADD waiting for the... I'm not trying to put the... Come on, you got to give it a shot. The people are driving around in cars. They're sweaty. They've worked all day. They're driving somewhere. They don't want to listen to you trying to form your thought. They're liable to go reach for a pill or change the channel to music, whatever. Interracial violence of black-on-white crime is an epidemic in America. Is it related in some way to the, shall I finish the filthy Filner in San Diego? No. Is it related to yellow cake uranium? No. Is it related to the economy? No. Is it related to the silence of Obama and Holder and the media? I'll let you figure it out. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Bing. It is 54 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. There's a lot of tragic stories out there, but I can't let it get me personally. It's like being an oncologist. If an oncologist let every cancer patient get to him or her, they wouldn't be able to get up in the morning. I cannot emotionalize every death. I can't do it. Now, of course, everyone's trying to use the senseless interracial murders for their own agenda. For example, here is the former Prime Minister of Australia who wrote the gun seizure laws in Australia trying to get us to do the same. Listen to clip number, I guess, what, number 7?
You've had, on average, 400 more people shot dead since Friday and the shocking murder in Duncan, Oklahoma. In other words, there is murder mayhem on Main Street, USA, every day of the week. But you hide from that. You don't face up to that, and you let your congressmen and senators escape and dance around the bush when it's a very real circumstance.
You mean dance around the Obama? Bush is no longer president, sir. We're not letting them dance around the Bush. He's gone. Bush is in Texas. The Bush is gone. So now the Australians are saying they're not going to come here. Oh, what a loss that's going to be. I guess we'll have to just put up with not seeing young men in the meatpacking district throwing up at 3 o'clock in the morning on car fenders. So what? Everyone's trying to use it now. Gun control is going to answer. It's not gun control. He doesn't want guns. He banned them in Australia, so they're defenseless now in Australia. They're sitting here like emus. Emus waiting to have their necks squeezed and broken. It has nothing to do with guns. And what it has to do with is thug control. It has to do with team control. It has to do with lack of leadership at the highest levels. That's what it has to do with. It's a lack of gang control. No, we're not letting the senators escape and dancing around the bush. Our congressmen and our senators have nothing to do with this gun violence. Nothing whatsoever. It's not their business, as a matter of fact. In New York, they were controlling the gun violence by stopping gangbangers and shaking the guns out of their pockets. So your liberal cohorts, Mr. Prime Minister, said, no, that's racist, to shake the guns out of their baggy pants. If a cop saw a gang member and he thought he saw a bulge in the back of his pants, they could stop him on the search rules that they had and shake him down and take a gun out of his pocket. So now the liberals want it both ways. That was called racist, and so now in New York they're putting in a monitor. Why don't they pick Al Sharpton to be the monitor of the New York Police Department? That might work. Or Jesse Jackson could investigate every incident in New York City. You know, this is what's going on here. And take a look who's running for office there. My God. Spritzer. You got Spritzer. You got the Wiener. You got the Spritzer. You got the Quinn. There's not a valid candidate in New York City. I realize I'm an out-of-state agitator. But I grew up in the city. I knew when there was a decent candidate as opposed to a fraud and a charlatan and a quack. There's not a decent candidate in New York. Well, there's no one would run for the office who's a legitimate person. Nobody. I did a show on that last night. The best people do not go into politics. What you get are the dregs of humanity, basically.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The problem is that even if the federal government keeps on putting more and more money in the system, if the cost is going up by 250%, tax revenues aren't going up 250%. And so at some point, the government will run out of money, which means more and more costs are being loaded onto students and their families.
Student.
The system's current trajectory is not sustainable.
Oh, wow. My God. I guess you have to raise taxes by 250%. See, when you take 150% of everyone's earnings, it's still not going to be enough for a technocrat communist like Obama. Welcome to the Savage Nation. He gave a speech. I thought he was on vacation. I'm actually quite impressed that he took time out from his trip to Martha's Vineyard to go give a speech about college tuition. College. Going to college? What are you learning in college? College. Going to college. Stay out till 3 in the morning, drug addicts, sex maniacs. They come out, they can't even get a job in a Starbucks. If someone asks them for 2 coffees at once, they have a nervous breakdown. They have to go home and live with the mother till they're 32. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The world's falling apart, and I'm helping you see it. What can I tell you? Shorty left for dead. You hear what Boehner did? You know Boehner, don't you? Boehner, that very powerful Republican opponent of Obama, the one you never see or hear. You know the guy who cries a lot with a pink shirt and a pink tie? The good-looking guy from Cleveland? Boehner blocks shutdown. He tells the GOP to fund the government. Don't shut the government down to stop Obamacare. You expected something else. We are writing a movie about the no opposition party, the one party system. You would cast Boehner, not as Batman, but as Boehner. You would cast Boehner, not as Winston Churchill, but as kind of an ineffectual fake opponent. A guy, you know, just does what he's told. 855-400-7282. The lines are jammed. But there's one open line, actually. Obama warned some point the government will run out of money. Okay. How about the interracial violence? The shooting of whites by black teens. The poor, misunderstood teens who are bored. How do you feel about that? What can you say about it? I mean, you want to make it worse than it is? The silence of Obama and Holder speak more loudly than any speech they could give. Last Friday, Christopher Lane, a 22-year-old Australian here on a baseball scholarship, was shot in the back and killed while jogging. He died where he fell, in a ditch. Nice-looking kid, a white kid. The shooter's black. Racism, a motive. Gang membership, a motive. White man was the target, according to the reports. They needed an initiation to get into some offshoot of the Crips or Bloods. And, of course, today we learn that Shorty, an 89-year-old survivor of the Battle of Okinawa in World War II, nice old white man, was outside a little recreation hall, and he was beaten by a couple of black teens. But, see, not a word from Obama, not a word from Holder. They don't even know what happened, apparently. And they could stop this. They could put a stop to it as sure as I'm standing here, because remember, if these kids have no father figure, and Obama is the father figure for the country, especially for those kids who have no fathers, he could get up there and say in no uncertain terms, I want to be very clear about this. This is going to stop, and it's going to stop now. And if you ever commit anything like this, we will track you to the ends of the earth, and you'll never see the light of day. We will lock you up and throw the key away. He could say that. He could do it every day, and it would put a damper on these idiots. But he hasn't said it. And Holder, who lectured the American Bar Association last week in San Francisco about the greatness of lawyers, has said nothing about this epidemic of interracial violence. If you go back to the end of World War II, 90% of black families had a mother and a father and children. And the children were disciplined by the mother and father. And the churches were strong. And the schools were strong. They taught right from wrong. They were strongly Christian in those days. What happened? Tell me what happened. The Great Society came along under that demagogue, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Democrat. And we now have the state of decline we're in today. Today, 73% of black kids are born to single mothers. Black kids who make it to the 12th grade may often be found reading at 7th, 8th, or 9th grade levels. In some cities, the black dropout rate can hit as high as 50%. Why? It's terrible. Among black males ages 18 to 29 in inner urban areas, about a third are in prison or jail or on probation or parole. So where do these kids get an idea of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil? It's certainly not from the church. It's certainly not in the schools. It's certainly not from the father. It's from the vermin in the media. It's from the rats in Hollywood. It's the garbage that the media sends into their brain. Every show, every movie, guns, violence, guns, violence. If you're a man, you have a gun. And here's Weinstein partying with Obama in Martha's Vineyard. I never saw a movie Weinstein made it. There wasn't a gun in it. Maybe there was one or two. I don't know where it comes. So crime, where is it coming from? It's coming from the lack of leadership in the country. And where's the NAACP today on these murders? They demanded a Justice Department investigation and an FBI investigation of a rodeo clown running around a bull ring in an Obama mask. But the NAACP has so far not addressed this interracial murder epidemic which is emerging in the country. Where is Jesse High Jackson? Where is Al Sharpton after this cold-blooded murder of Chris Lane and now of this old man? Remember when Trayvon Martin was shot? The president felt obligated to speak. He said that if he had a son, he would have looked like Trayvon Martin. He said, 35 years ago, I could have been Trayvon. And yet the president has not found the inner Obama to talk about the parents of, to the parents of Chris Lane or to the survivors of this old man. What caused this meltdown in the black community? Liberalism. Lyndon Baines Johnson introduced the so-called Great Society 50 years ago. Trillions of dollars on food stamps, welfare, civil rights, housing, health care. Controlling police who do their job. And what has happened? Did the society become more law-abiding? Did the kids become better behaved? We were told that if we had the great society and we spent trillions of dollars on the poor and the deserving, why there'd be a moral and cultural blossoming in America. Yeah, well, it didn't happen. Nope, we didn't. It didn't happen. The real America is happening right in front of your eyes. And the interracial violence is largely black on white. There's an epidemic. The rats in the media, of course, are not going to report it. They're cowards, and liberals are stuck in the 60s. They still see it through the lens of the 1960s. They will forever have bell bottoms on the bottom of their minds. They will forever have crystals in front of their central cortex. They will forever be addled by LSD on their souls. And now we in America are facing a shocking cultural revolution. And you have to ask yourself, does Obama's silence, does Holder's silence, does this silence speak louder than words? It's a sad day in America when you have such a cynical leadership. There's no better word for it. Cynical leadership. Cynical leadership. With no moral center, just an agenda. No moral center, just a far-left agenda. Bring it all down, girl. Turn man against man. Turn black against white. Turn white against black. Turn, you know, one race against another. Turn one sex against another. Divide and conquer. Pure, absolute, absolute madness. Power madness like we've never seen in our lifetime. All coming from that nice man with a nice wife with nice children. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-855-400-7282. Phoenix, Arizona. John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage? I'm
yes,
a
sir.
Deacon from the Diocese of Phoenix, and I am appalled about our bishop's stance on immigration. And the reason why is that these so-called immigrants will end up voting for politicians that promote abortion, the smut from Hollywood, and any other anti-God agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to be stopped if we're going to turn the country around.
Well, why are they looking for millions of illegal aliens?
Hello?
Yeah, why are they looking for more illegal aliens?
Well, I cannot really answer it. I think your reason why is probably one of them. But keep in mind, in Phoenix, there are a lot of Hispanics here and in this diocese, and you know, I guess they're in Tucson also. So you know, there's a lot of pressure being put on. I think we have to look at the bigger picture on the whole thing. How are we going to defeat this humanistic, atheistic philosophy that permeates through our society?
Well, I don't know that that has anything to do with filling the pews with illegal aliens, do you? I mean, it's sort of two different subjects, isn't it?
Well, it is two different subjects. That's you have your theory on it, and it could be very right. I have my theory on it. I think it's wrong for the reasons that I stated.
All right, you made your point, and I appreciate that. We're talking about a number of topics, one of which is, why is the Catholic Church pulling out all stops to push for amnesty for illegal aliens? I think it's quite clear to me that it has all to do with filling the pews. That's what I think. Columbus, Ohio, Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you hit the nail on the head with what you said in the last segment. It has to do with cynical leadership, and cynical leadership has extended to the religious leaders in this country. I am a practicing Catholic, and I am an RCIA teacher at my local parish, and nothing drives me more insane than this issue about illegal immigration. In the last couple of years, we've been receiving communications from the bishop's offices stating that support for amnesty is akin to to be a Catholic in good standing, to believing in fundamental Catholic principles like
this. But this is a very political situation, and they're blending, they're crossing the line between the church and state, are they not?
Oh, absolutely. When we teach social justice to the children, you know, and to converts to the faith, you know, it's gone from being a very, you know...
Yeah, social justice is a communist philosophy. It has nothing to do with the church and nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus. They have tried to steal the teachings of religion and turn it into part of communism.
Absolutely. They've been co-opted by the radical left in this country for the last 50 years, and they're being hoodwinked again by the leftist establishment in this country, thinking that it's going to benefit them in the long run. You know, they're a lot like the Republican Party in a lot of ways. They think they're going to come out of this smelling like roses, but it's going to fundamentally transform our country and ultimately be the demise of the church in America. And it's a very, very cynical ploy that the bishops have.
Well, you could see, you know, why the Democrats want 30 to 70 million illegal aliens. You can see that. But the Republicans should know that they're never going to vote for them. So what are they joining the party for? Are they that idiotic?
Cheap labor. No, they need the cheap labor, just like the Catholic Church wants.
All right, the growers, the hotels, the factories. I understand that. The people here don't want to work. They're living on welfare. They are living at home with their parents. You know. Thanks for the call. Meanwhile, the Middle East is burning, and Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, is saying nothing about the attacks upon Coptic Christians. Not one word, Mr. Nobel Peace Prize. He's driving around in a bus. Talking about the college tuition. Mobile, Alabama, WAVH. Brandon, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, hello.
Yes, go ahead. Fire away, Brandon.
Yes, I'd like to talk about Harvey Weinstein and his company that made Django Unchained, the movie that's talking about white people.
Oh, the movie Django Unchained? You think that stirred up some of this interracial violence that's going on?
Well, I mean, it happened.
Well, that's why he was invited to the White House. Just as Hitler had Leni Riefenstahl, you could say Obama has Harvey Weinstein. Thanks for the call. That sort of works. That fit very well. Hitler had Leni Riefenstahl. It was a brilliant movie maker, propagandist. So you could say that Obama has Harvey Weinstein. Why do you think he invites him to the White House and to Martha's Vineyard? That's all. He's the Leni Riefenstahl of our time. Crime pays. Crime pays. Crimes against humanity pay. When did you think it didn't? Las Vegas, KBET. Carol, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Doesn't that come with any kind of duty and obligation, responsibility? Where is everyone asking his silence on Syria, the gas against his own people, in Egypt, all these other events? Why is he not stepping up higher if he's awarded a peace prize?
You know, you raise another issue that's worthy of discussion, which I haven't even touched on because the facts are so fuzzy. The alleged gassing of civilians in Syria is horrendous if it really occurred. We don't know whether it occurred. We don't know who did it. I wouldn't put it past the so-called rebels to have either staged this, where they're not actually being deaths, or to have unleashed gas upon their own civilian side in order to marshal international support. So before we rush to judgment and say the monster Assad did it, and he is a monster, I think we really do need an investigation. That's the problem. But having said that, Obama is saying nothing about any of it. I think that's your main point.
That's it.
He certainly knows without any doubt we don't need a UN committee to take a look at the burnt churches in Egypt. We don't need to see the cinders of the remains of the churches. We don't need to see that. We know that that occurred, and Obama said nothing.
Why aren't they angry?
We have a lot. It's terrible. It's just terrible. I mean, there's nothing more we could say about that. You know, let's see. We have 47 seconds until the break, and then after the break, I have Waleed Shobat back on the program, and he's going to talk about Obama's Kenyan brother, who is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Waleed believes that he has an answer as to why Obama seems to be friendly with the Muslim Brotherhood. You'll have to draw your own conclusions. Maybe you believe it's a good thing to be friendly with the Muslim Brotherhood. It's possible. Because apparently Waleed Shobat believes that it explains why Mr. Obama, the president, is either turning a blind eye towards or is actually encouraging the Muslim Brotherhood. It's because he has a brother who seems to be involved with them.
Join the Savage Nation.
Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, it's the Savage Nation. We're all asking why Obama is silent on the interracial violence in America, why he's silent on the killing and the killing of Christians in Egypt. And an article came out the other day in WorldNet Daily saying Obama's brother linked to Muslim Brotherhood. Report says Malik directs radical Islamic movement's investments. And it's a report based upon reports by Walid Shobat, who says that he read a speech in Arabic on Egyptian television. Joining us now is Walid Shobat, former Muslim Brotherhood member, former PLO member, now a peace activist. He wrote a book called The Case for Islamophobia. Walid, welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is a very serious...
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Walid. In a news report on Egyptian television of a Gabali speech translated by researcher Walid Shobat, a former PLO organization operative, Gabali said she would like to inform the American people that their president's brother, Obama, is one of the architects of the major investments of the Muslim Brotherhood. Is that what she said?
Yes. This is the former chancellor of the Constitutional Court of Egypt. And she's also the current advisor to the Constitutional Court of Egypt. She's not a small cookie. Her name is Tahani Al-Jabali. She stated that the reason the United States cannot fight the international organization of the Muslim Brotherhood is because the brother of U.S. President Barack Obama is the architect of the investments for the international organization for the Muslim Brotherhood, which brings us back to the issue we discussed on your show before, Malik Obama. She's possibly talking about Malik Obama. She didn't give the name, but she said this is a nugget for the American people, what they do not know. She wants to open the books in the courts. She is, addressing the issues that Americans do not understand. She says the American government will not stop us. We need to open the files and begin court session. The Obama administration cannot stop us. They're holding ground. In fact, it's not just in a speech she gave. It's in several interviews.
She wants to open the files in Egypt to show how this government collaborated with the terrorists. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. She's saying that the government collaborated with the terrorists. You look at Benghazi, things that you've never heard in this country. It's all over, certainly it's the Middle East. In the Benghazi case, even there is a docket, number 3790, against Morsi for involvement with terrorism in Libya and Egypt. In fact, even the Libyan government states that Mohamed Morsi was involved in Benghazi. When you look at what the Americans are charging regarding Benghazi, there's only one Libyan, Khattala, a small fry. They're not addressing any of the Egyptian operatives. It was the case in Nasser City terror cell that was busted in Egypt, in which a Libyan was killed. His name, by Reuters, was linked to the case in Benghazi.
Walid, I believe every word you say, by the way, but what you're saying tonight is more shocking than anything you've ever said before. You are saying that Obama's half-brother, Malik Obama, is what, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, or what?
It's worse. Malik Obama, as we stated before, with clear evidence from photos, from events, from numerous articles from the Middle East, everything is disclosed. He works for the Sudanese government. He is an employee of the Sudanese government. He works right under Omar al-Bashir. Mohammed Sarwar is his main boss. He is the executive director of the Islamic Dawah Organization of Sudan. Sudan is a terror state. It is illegal what he is doing. He is a U.S. resident. He runs a compound of polygamy in Kogelo, Kenya. He runs a 501c3. Lewis Lerner is involved in this whole affair. The IRS is involved in this whole affair. He was granted a 501c3 illegally. He was, retroactive when it was illegal. He was lying the whole time, raising funds from the United States.
Walid, you detailed all of these allegations in a 22-page investigative report entitled New IRS Scandal, Islamic Extremism and Sex Slaves. Report reveals Obama's relatives run charities of deceit. What is your website so people can decide for themselves?
Shobat.com, just as you spell the word shoe, S-H-O-E, and the word bat, B-A-T, like baseball bat, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com.
Okay, so Malik Obama and Sarah Obama raised money in the United States as the heads of foundations claiming to be charities. The IRS granted one of them tax-deductible status, retroactively going back to 2008. And then you say there are two IRS-approved 501c3 organizations operated in the U.S. by Obama's half-brother and step-grandmother in Kenya. But what does that have to do with the president? Remember, Jimmy Carter had a crazy brother, but you couldn't blame Jimmy Carter, as bad a president as he was, of being his brother. So should we say there's a linkage between the brothers?
Well, first we have to prove the link between Obama and the IRS. However, the IRS is linked to Malik Obama and his operation. So there's no way to refute that involvement. How did the IRS scandal begin? It has to have been all these meetings with President Obama, in which it was in closed doors, to basically begin to attack the Tea Parties and all these other things. So that whole issue is involved. Barack Hussein Obama, the president, is very close, tightly knit with the family. In fact, it's been revealed in Al Jazeera television, in which his cousin, Musa Ismail Obama, clearly said the communication is from his uncle, Saeed Obama, and the family in Kogelo in Kenya. And then you have Saeed Obama, and all this family are seen with the Wahhabists, are raising funds to the most virulent Wahhabi schools in Saudi Arabia, Umm al-Qura University. Hello, the Mama Sara Fund, his grandmother's fund, is going to recruit Wahhabi to Wahhabi schools from Africa. Well, we know what madrasa is. This is madrasa. The number one terror madrasa in the world is Umm al-Qura University. It was founded by Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, the founder and the godfather of Wahhabism. We're talking about a serious issue here. We're talking about Sudan, and his brother Malik Obama is an employee of Sudan, executive director of the Islamic Dawah organization. You know, you have Omar al-Bashir, wanted on 7 counts in the International Criminal Court, talking about Syria.
Okay, but I hear you, and I don't deny it, but let's start from the top. Is Obama his brother's keeper? Are there legitimate links between the president and his renegade brother? Is it fair to draw conclusions about Obama from what his brother does or doesn't do?
Well, absolutely yes, because the president
okay.
is responsible for what happens in the IRS scandal. He's responsible, especially when he's always meeting with his brother in the White House. How did he get his residency? How is he getting the IRS status? How is he getting all these favors illegally? It had to have been President Obama. I mean, I can't even apply for those kind of things. You can't. How could Malik Obama? Well, it has to be the last name Obama. It has to be related to Obama. It has to be related to the president.
Waleed, look, you're a guy who's worked in such deep, deep, dangerous situations, both as a terrorist and an anti-terrorist, that you know the inner workings of these things much better than I do. I'm simply kind of almost an ingenue when it comes to these things. I can only imagine what you've had to live through, but I do watch an awful lot of television. When I watch the TV show Homeland, have you ever seen that show about a former U.S. congressman who had been brainwashed and converted to Islam secretly and becomes a congressman and he's really working for the other side? Are you implying that that's what we have here?
Well, we have to look at Obama's allegiances. We have to look at what's happening. Americans need to see what's happening. Libya is gone, you know, amok. You have Egypt, with President Obama supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, going to Egypt and giving a historic speech in support even of the Muslim Brotherhood when he went there, wanting them to be part of the electorate process because it's part of democracy, you know. We see the Syrian situation in which the Free Syrian Army are carrying out massacres. We see the situation in Egypt. The entire Middle East is in chaos. It is definitely Obama's full support to the Islamist cause. So Obama is supporting the Islamist cause in the Middle East. It's very obvious. He has a brother named George Obama. Well, he doesn't even care about George Obama. In fact, even in the documentary, nobody even disclosed why he doesn't care about George Obama. The truth is, George Obama, his mother is Otieno. She's a Christian who lives in the U.S. He doesn't care about the Christian side of his family. He cares very much to the Muslim side of his family. He's very much sympathetic to the Muslims, to the Islamic cause as well. It's evident from his own family.
So what are you saying? I mean, if we look at the big picture here, you're saying something very powerful here, which is that he's linked, that his brother's linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, and that Barack Obama is supporting them with U.S. tax dollars. Therefore, you're saying he's a secret agent of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, he's sympathetic to the Muslim Brotherhood, and I've always argued that Obama, in my view, is the taboo that can never be discussed in America. He is very much sympathetic to his Islamic roots. Obama is very likely to be a Muslim. So, you know, this is something we are not allowed to talk about all of a sudden. The problem in American media is that, you know, you can go to Egypt and find more about what goes on than you can find in your own hometown in this country.
Yes, there's more freedom of the press in Egypt right now than in this lockdown nation of ours, where we have an absolute yellow journalistic press at work around the clock. And if anyone disagrees with them, they're castigated. I understand how hard it is, because I work through this mess on a daily basis, Waleed. So having said all of this, having exposed this from... Now, remember, you're saying that you heard all of this in Arabic on Egyptian television when Gabali said that her country will not allow any conspiracy against the Egyptian state. And she said that they're trying to destroy the nation. Why would Obama want to destroy Egypt?
Well, obviously, he wants the takeover of Egypt by the Muslim Brotherhood, because that's where his sympathies lie. The Muslim Brotherhood is the umbrella organization for Al-Qaeda, for Hamas, for the Islamist movement.
So it's actually worse than I fear on my worst nights in the darkest moments. It's much worse.
It is much
worse. But Waleed, if you're saying this, and it was published the other day, and the Egyptians are saying it, how could our intelligence agencies not understand this? Or have they all been castrated by Obama? Is it that far gone that they've all been castrated?
Well, obviously. I mean, how many Americans know that one of the operatives who's suspect in Benghazi has been trained by the United States Air Force, Tariq Taha Abu'l-Azm? I got the minutes from the articles of the police investigation in Egypt. You have a mastermind who's suspected in Benghazi, have been trained by the Air Force. Hello, this is very embarrassing to the Obama administration, embarrassing for the government. You had the same case before, Ali Muhammad. Who talks about him? Ali Muhammad was a CIA agent, a double agent, working for Al-Qaeda. He was the first one to establish the Al-Qaeda manual. He was Egyptian, the same case as this Abu'l-Azm. He was found, caught guilty, sentenced, but never tried, but never sentenced. Hello? What happened to that man? Ali Muhammad, the same case.
Well, Waleed, look, this is a major league expose, and I don't know, have you had much play with this in the media? Has anyone else had you on their show?
Well, you know, you're number one. You care. There's others who do care, but the major media doesn't care. However, even the case of Obama's brother, it was on CNN Arabic, but not CNN English. Can you understand that? CNN,
yes.
The Arabic talks about Obama's brother being linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, but CNN in English never mentions a word about it. So the media is controlled by the liberals, by the institution. They make us pay attention to what is happening in Syria so we can forget about what's happening in Egypt and in Benghazi. If Obama really cares about slaughter in Syria, why doesn't he care about the genocide in Sudan? There is a much bigger genocide in Sudan.
Well, that's another topic, and I'd like to, when we come back from the break, Waleed, ask you your opinion on the alleged gas attack in Syria, whether it actually occurred, whether it's staged, and who actually may have released the gas, because I have no way to believe either side there. They're both so terrible. I'll be right back. We're speaking with Waleed Shobat, former PLO member, former Muslim Brotherhood member, now a peace activist. His book is The Case for Islamophobia. His website is Shobat.com. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Swinging into the last phase, the last segment of the hour here on the Savage Nation, we're dealing with a very serious allegation from a very serious man. Obama's brother linked to Muslim Brotherhood. Report says Malik directs radical Islamic movements investments. It was in the World Net Daily the other day. I'll read the two paragraphs, then we'll go back to Waleed Shobat. President Obama's half-brother in Kenya could cause the White House more headaches over new evidence linking him to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and establishing that controversial IRS supervisor Lois Lerner signed his tax-exempt approval letter. Malik Obama's oversight of the Muslim Brotherhood's international investments is one reason for the Obama administration's support of the Muslim Brotherhood, according to an Egyptian report citing the vice president of the Supreme Constitutional Court of Egypt, Tahani al-Gabali. Waleed Shobat, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thank you.
Nothing has come of this article. It was written by the very bright Jerome R. Corsi on World Net Daily. They quote you, where they say that you listened to the Gabali speech in Arabic in from Egypt, and she was vehement and adamant that the president's brother is one of the architects of the major investments of the Muslim Brotherhood. So what happens now if no one's paying attention?
Well, it's what happens now is as usual. It's always redirecting the attention of the American people to something else. Now we are into Syria.
Okay, so is this gas attack a fake? Is it a fake event, or is it real?
Which event?
The alleged gassing of the civilians in Syria. Are those real corpses? Were they staged? And who did it?
Well, it's difficult to tell in this case. We have to wait. But let me bring the previous case. What happened to the previous case? I've examined even videos that we obtained. Americans don't even see these things. How the Free Syrian Army were able to have weapons cache of Scuds, tanks, SAM-7 rockets, all on video. In fact, even firing Scuds on video. And even having chemical rockets on video. Hello? You know, it is easy for the Free Syrian Army to stage. The Khan al-Assal situation was proven to be a fraud. It was proven to be false. If it is true that in the previous event, the chemical attack came from Bashar al-Assad's army, why is it that in every single testimony from the victims themselves, it showed that it was the Free Syrian Army that lobbed that? How would that be strategically smart for Bashar al-Assad to be carrying out a chemical warfare in Syria when he knows it's exactly what the other side is looking for? So
not only that, but why would he carry it out the very week that the UN inspectors are on the ground? It makes no sense to me.
It absolutely makes no sense. It absolutely also makes no sense to me that Mohammed Morsi would be asking for the blind sheikh just days before Benghazi attack and right after the Benghazi attack. How does that fit strategically from a head of state of Egypt to be asking for the blind sheikh after Americans were killed in Benghazi? The Middle East doesn't make much sense, but we have to look at the source. Mohammed Morsi is an Islamist. Bashar al-Assad is not an Islamist. It doesn't serve him to do this kind of thing. The Christian community in Syria loves Bashar al-Assad. The people love Bashar al-Assad. The Russians love Putin. It's in America that we have the problem. We don't love Barack Hussein Obama. We can't stand him. He is on the side of the enemy. It behooves me that these days I'm looking towards Russia. I'm looking towards Putin. I'm looking towards Bashar al-Assad. And I lost every single hope that is left in my soul to trust this government that I'm living under.
Unbelievable. I can't add to that, nor can I subtract from that. I know that you speak a very complicated Arabic. You speak English. How many other languages, Waleed, do you speak?
Just English and Arabic.
Just English and Arabic. Well, I know that you choose your words very carefully, and I would think that if we translated what you just said, there's an entire declaration in that statement. What is so heavy on my heart right now, and what's pregnant in my mind, is where the hell are the Republicans in all of this? And that's what really frightens me, because I've been not so jokingly saying on this program for years that we have a one-party system playing two-card Monty. Because if we didn't, we'd have an outcry coming from the other side demanding an investigation of these reports coming out of Egypt about the Muslim Brotherhood, about Malik Obama, about the president's alleged friendliness, shall I say, the help that he's giving the Muslim Brotherhood. Because it's really clear for everyone to see it if they look at it. It's very clear from Libya to Syria which side he's on. Waleed Shobat, the book is The Case for Islamophobia. Your website is shobat.com, is that correct? Shobat, S-H-O-E-B-A-T?
That's correct.
Well, as usual, yes, a wonderful interview and extremely, extremely upsetting. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back with the third hour across America in most markets. Be here or be nowhere. Waleed, thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Okay, here's what's on michaelsavage.com. We made it to hour number three tonight for the 22nd of August in the year 2013. With the Mideastern crisis, guess where your president is? He's on a bus tour. Amid the violence and the unrest, the political madness in the Middle East, he's on a bus tour selling his left-wing agenda. Here are some of the other topics for the Savage Nation tonight. An employee of the Department of Homeland Security, whose job it is to purchase guns and ammo for immigration and customs agents, maintains a website that is virulently anti-white and anti-gay. Moreover, he calls for the deaths of millions of white people. He says there will be a race war. Where is the media outcry on this African-Americans anti-gay, anti-white stance? Answer, where they always are. Meanwhile, the Catholic leaders are stepping up the push for amnesty for illegals, and we've talked about why the Catholics are doing it. And Catholics, how do you feel that your church is pushing for amnesty? Do you feel this is a question of the church pushing for justice or to fill their pews? Meanwhile, the so-called bored teen who randomly gunned down the Australian baseball player tweeted his desire to kill days earlier. His website is filled with anti-white screeds. He was a racist gang member, according to his father. 855-400-7282. Why do you think Obama is saying nothing about the Australian student Chris Lane, who was executed during a gang initiation by two blacks? Why do you think Obama is saying nothing about the poor old 89-year-old man who was wounded in Okinawa during World War II, who was pummeled and beaten to death by black teens? Bored teen who randomly gunned down the white baseball player tweeted his desire to kill days earlier, and a local father said that it was a gang initiation. The president says he knows nothing about this murder. Listen to clip number one.
I don't think it was for fun. I don't think it was at random. I think it was the initiation. Because I understand that after that happened, there's a list that so-called pops up with my name, my son's name at the top of the list and four that they was going to bump off. A couple of people came to me and shared that information with me. I don't go a lot on hearsay, but on this one, I went with it.
Why do you think Eric Holder is silent on this murder and on the murder today of an 89-year-old white male who survived Okinawa in World War II, beaten to death in a parking lot in Spokane? Why are they silent? I'm asking you. The White House says they're not familiar with the Chris Lane murder. Do you have that soundbite? Let's hear they're not familiar with it. Never heard about it.
Do you have any reaction to the Christopher Lane case?
I'm not familiar with that, actually. Well, just that this sounds like a pretty tragic case. I wouldn't want to get ahead of the legal process here, and it's clear that law enforcement officials are involved and are investigating.
You moron, you. You idiot, you. That's the best you can do. You came out of a college, you putz, you. They taught you how to put a Windsor knot on your neck. You idiot, you. Not familiar with it. The whole country knows about it. Yeah, bored teen who randomly gunned down this young white male tweeted his desire to kill days earlier. At first, the rats in the media reported that it was just bored teens out for a little sport. But actually, one of the black teens who allegedly gunned down the Australian white student tweeted, "It's time to start taking lives," in the days before the murder. James Edwards Jr., 15, tweeted a disturbing message 3 days before 23-year-old Christopher Lane was shot dead as he jogged on a Duncan, Oklahoma road. He also tweeted this, Edwards. Apparently the moron knows how to tweet. 90% of white people are nasty. I hate them. Edwards and Chancey Allen Luna, 16, have been charged with murder, while Michael Dwayne Jones, 17, who was driving the car they were in, was charged with accessory after the fact to murder. Now, I expect in New York City they will attack the police for arresting the alleged shooters and murderers, saying that it was racial profiling. My suspicion is that the candidates for mayor, all of them, in Manhattan right now, Quinn and the other fools, will no doubt say that the police in Oklahoma are racists and that they use racial profiling to arrest these poor innocent teens. That's what I would suspect. Police said the teens told them they were bored, so they decided to kill somebody. Huh. Meanwhile, it's been revealed that the teens were quickly nabbed because they allegedly threatened to murder a 17-year-old who wouldn't join their offshoot of the Crips gang. This is in the middle of the heartland of America. Now, we have a soundbite of a father whose son was also threatened, a black man, James Johnson, who called the police on Chris Lane's killers. This guy has a lot of courage because they were out to get his son because he wouldn't join a gang. Listen to clip two.
Oh, that gang stuff, man, you're asking the wrong person. I don't know. They grew up together. These guys are all buddies and kin folks and buds, you know what I mean? They all grew up together. Like I said, these kids can be good kids. They are good kids. They just don't have any male figures in their lives. No men. You can't give kids that kind of liberty to go do what they want to with no restraints whatsoever. Do what you want, when you want, and how you want.
Right. Now, since they have no father figure, President Obama is their father figure. President Obama is the man they look up to. President Obama has the power to get on that podium and look them in the eye and everyone in America and say in no uncertain terms, now you listen to me. You listen to me. Anyone who does a vile thing like this will track you to the ends of the earth. You will never, ever see the light of day again. It is despicable for you to do that to innocent people. He could put a stop to this, but he hasn't. Instead, he's on a bus tour somewhere. I don't know what he's doing on the bus tour. I thought he was still on vacation, but apparently took time out of his vacation to do a little fundraising. This young man said that they threatened to kill his son because they're in a gang. And I told my son he couldn't run with these boys. Yesterday, public schools in that town were on heightened alert after police said they learned of anonymous threats. There's not much more you could say about it. Not much more at all. The only thing that I dread is the circus that's going to follow with regard to the trial when out-of-town, crazed leftist lawyers from Columbia University come out to defend these murderers. When the vermin in the ACLU, when the rats in the ACLU, when the rats in the ACLU come out and say that they're poor, misunderstood teens, that's what I'm dreading more than anything. That's what I'm dreading. Now we have a new one. 89-year-old World War II veteran beaten to death by two black teens died. Take a look at him. He's on a Drudge Report. A little guy named Shorty. Can you imagine if it was your grandfather who fought valiantly for America during one of the worst battles in the history of World War II on Okinawa, survived being wounded, comes back to America, he's retired, playing pool in some, you know, little hall, pool hall, and these kids come and beat him up for nothing because he's a white guy? Can you imagine how you'd feel? Not one word from Hollywood. Not one word from the administration. Meanwhile, a Homeland Security employee, a black male, is preparing for a coming race war. He has a full website. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I think the world has gone off its axis. Not only are there race murders going on in America with a giant silence from Obama, from Holder, from the media. Here's a guy, Bradley Manning, the soldier convicted of the biggest leak of classified documents in history, sentenced to 35 years in the slammer. Now he suddenly says he wants to serve as a woman, that he's really a woman trapped in a man's body, and he wants a gender reassignment, her hormone therapy. Sex reassignment surgery for gender identity disorder. You hear this? What is he feeling, that the woman inside of him will be innocent? And it was really the evil man in him that was guilty? I mean, this guy's really crazy. So his lawyer, David Coombs, said if the military did not accommodate his psycho client's desire to become a woman, he would do everything in my power to force them to. Okay, I have no other comment other than the sarcasm in my tone, what I would like to do to that lawyer. Private First Class Bradley Manning poses wearing a wig. Not bad looking, truthfully. I mean, the truth is, this guy would have been better off if he was a woman. I think I've gone too heavy. I tried the jokes. I don't know. I'm not in a joke mood. I'm not really... Oh, how about this one? Here's another story that got me this morning. The Roman Catholic Church will make a major push to grant amnesty to millions and millions of illegal aliens next month. Catholic bishops and priests from major dioceses dioceses, across the nation will preach in favor of amnesty that will include advertising and phone calls directed at Catholic lawmakers and marches where the issue is controversial. So I have a question for you. Here's my question for you. Catholics, how do you feel about your church pushing for amnesty for illegal aliens, number one? And number two, do you think they're doing it out of compassion or to fill the pews? That's all. Am I allowed to ask the question? The last time I did, I was attacked by the Catholic League. After supporting them for 10 straight years, I dared step out of line and ask one question. I got ripped apart by the Catholic League. That's the way the world works. Thank God we still have free speech. I saw an article on common symptoms of ADD and ADHD in women from healthcentral.com. And I was thinking not of Bradley Manning, but I said how crazy this has become. Look at what they call ADD and ADHD symptoms. Ladies, listen carefully. Do you have difficulty with boring, repetitive tasks? See a shrink. He may prescribe Ritalin for you or Adderall. Do you spend a lot of time thinking things through called ruminating? You're sick. You now have ADD. Do you have difficulty making decisions like 99% of humanity? No, the doctors, the quacks call it ADD, ADHD. You need medication. Do you have difficulty sitting still because your back hurts? You have ADD. Go to a doctor. Do you have difficulty falling asleep and waking up the next morning? See a doctor. See a crackpot. Do you start projects but you seem unable to finish them like 99% of the world? You may have ADD, ADHD, according to the crackpots. Do you engage in addictive behaviors? You may have ADD, ADHD, according to the crackpots. Do you have low self-esteem like 99% of humanity? You may have ADD, ADHD. See a doctor. Are you hypersensitive to criticism? You may have ADD, ADHD. See a crackpot and get a drug. Are you emotionally charged and easily upset? You're not really just a normal woman. You may have a disease. You may have ADD, ADHD. See a crackpot. Get drugs. Do you say things without thinking like 99% of humanity? You may have a disease called ADD, ADHD, according to the crackpots. See a crackpot and get a drug. Do you appear to be self-absorbed, ladies? No, you're not just self-absorbed like most of humanity. You may have a disease. You may be a victim of ADD, ADHD. You may be qualified for a drug. Do you have poor math and writing skills? It's not because you're a dummy. It's because you have ADD and ADHD. See a quack. He'll give you a prescription for a dangerous drug. Do you have poor handwriting? It's not because you have poor handwriting, because you have no self-control and you're too lazy to learn how to write properly. It's because you may have a disease. See a crackpot with a medical degree. He'll tell you you have ADD or ADHD and give you a drug. Orthodox rabbi says medical marijuana is kosher. A schmuck. What a schmuck. Unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me the brainwashing that's going on. The biggest drug dealer, the biggest South American drug lord of the 80s, Carlos Leader, I saw a show on him the other day. He said that he was a narco, dealer, one of the most vicious of all. And he was vehemently anti-American. And whether he meant it or not, he said that one of the things I'm doing in flooding America with drugs, marijuana and cocaine, he said, is a revolutionary act to enslave the population. Now you have legions of morons who have bought into the big lie about medical marijuana without realizing that it's part of the addiction, the entire addiction of an entire nation, the criminal addiction of an entire nation under the guise of medication. That's what you're witnessing. The madness, it's a madness. It's a madness. Because if they really got relief from marijuana, they would take Marinol. They wouldn't damage their lungs with marijuana smoke. You would take a prescription drug called Marinol, which is the which contains the active principle of marijuana, and you'd get the relief you're looking for. You wouldn't smoke that filthy, damaging, toxic smoke known as marijuana smoke. That's all. It's unbelievable how stupid people are and how gullible. Gullible. You want to talk about that? Let's get a pothead on the show. Here, we got a pothead. Wes from Redding, California, KQMS. Wes, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, you there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Yeah, cool. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, far from a pothead, I'm an entrepreneur. I have a couple businesses.
Yeah, right. And how'd you make the money to start the businesses? By growing pot?
No, far from. I'd like to not, you know, elaborate here, but the situation is I'm just curious, are you pro-Bayer? Are you pro-Monsanto?
What does Monsanto have to do with marijuana, idiot?
What are you pro-Bayer?
What are you linking one to the other? Let's talk about marijuana. Are you aware of the toxic elements of marijuana smoke? Let's start with the basics.
Okay.
Are you or aren't you? What do you mean, okay? What kind of answer is that? Are you aware of the toxic elements of marijuana smoke? That's all I'm asking.
Of smoke, yes, I am, definitely. But I'm also...
Of which... Wait, sir. Which smoke?
Toxic side.
Okay, so why is it that all of these fools who claim they need medical marijuana don't take Marinol, which contains the active ingredient which will give them the relief they claim they get from it? Why are they risking lung cancer by smoking marijuana? It's not for medical reasons. It's to get high.
Well, the smoking portion of it, I would believe, is lack of information. Because there's other ways that you can also get it. Cold pressing.
I just said that to you. So why don't they take the medication that contains the active ingredient, tetrahydrocannabinol? Why don't they just take a medication that contains that?
Marinol, I believe, is made by pharmaceutical companies. Is that not the truth?
So what are you leading to? Everything made by a pharmaceutical company is evil?
Well, not necessarily.
Well, most of humanity wouldn't have survived childhood without pharmaceuticals, incidentally. Are you telling me you never took an antibiotic in your childhood?
How many children have died from Tylenol?
Wait, no, don't change the subject. Don't change the subject. You're showing your ignorance. Were you ever given an antibiotic in your childhood?
Not very, very rarely.
I didn't say rare. I said, were you ever? That's not the correct answer.
Yes, okay.
So that means, yes, you were given an antibiotic. When you get a rotten tooth, what does a doctor give you? Chicken feathers and menstrual blood of a chicken and dance in a circle, or he gives you an antibiotic?
He gives the antibiotic.
Was he dancing in a circle with menstrual blood and chicken feathers and go, was he give you a tetracycline?
Yeah.
You stupid idiot. Get off my show. You're wasting my time. Reminds me of the idiots I used to have to teach when I can't take teaching for that reason. I had to leave it from the idiots sitting in the audience, stoned and drunk out of their minds. Anyway, I made my point. You want to give yourself lung cancer, be my guest. If you really wanted the medical benefits, so-called, of THC, you'd take it in a pill. You wouldn't be smoking that toxic, poisonous weed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're lucky you're not in my business. If you have to do this for a living and read these headlines from 8 o'clock in the morning till I go on the air...
You can get crazy from all this.
You know, headlines, they're written to catch your... But it really goes on. Someone said to me today, I don't watch the news because it's made to scare people.
The Savage Nation.
I said, yes, it is. That's because the world is a terrifying place. It's not made to scare you. There are very evil people out there, evil nations, and evil things going on.
Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Look, we all know Hillary Clinton's going to run, even though she's absolutely incompetent, dangerous, anti-American, you name it. We've seen them. We had the Clintons for 8 years, but the left is pushing her, right? Our next guest is Christina Hoff Sommers, whose book, The War Against Boys, disproves the fundamental beliefs of Hillary Clinton and the left that women are being shortchanged in America because she knows that boys are the ones being pushed and are falling behind because of the hostility that has been created towards boys in our educational system. Christina Hoff Sommers, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you.
So tell my listeners, what is this war on boys you write about?
Well, boys these days exist in an atmosphere of disapproval from the moment they walk through the school door. It's as if they are there on sufferance. Now, this may sound like an exaggeration until you look at the rates of suspension for the actions that aren't even culpable. I mean, little boys playing cops and robbers run afoul of zero tolerance policies. Little boys aren't allowed to write the stories they want or draw the pictures they want. It's as if we're policing their imaginations. And now we wonder, why are there so many more girls in college? Why are girls getting the better grades? And you go back and see that the classroom is simply not accommodating the needs of most little boys.
When do you think this became a problem? When did it actually begin?
Well, I think two things happened at once. One is that classrooms became more intolerant of boyishness through, as I said, through rules of zero tolerance, and certain fashionable theories about how children should behave, making the classroom, for example, self-esteem enhancing, led them to get rid of games that boys liked, dodgeball and tag. There are some schools that have replaced tug of war with tug of peace. This was an effort to, I guess in that case it wasn't self-esteem, but it was to make it the schoolroom more cooperative, happy place. But it didn't work out that way. It makes it an unhappy place for many little boys who aren't allowed to play in the way they want. Now, all of this happened, school becoming sort of a hostile environment for boys, at the very time education is so important to a young person's prospects. And so I think boys always struggle with school. You can go back and find, you know, look at Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. They weren't happy in school. And boys aren't that different today in terms of their affinity for the classroom, but the classroom isn't meeting them halfway.
What do the numbers tell us? How badly are boys being treated in our schools?
What we're seeing is actually quite shocking to education theorists, statisticians, is that there is a gap favoring girls in almost every area of education. And it's a gap that is threatening to become a chasm. Now, what is this all about? The girls are far better readers. They're getting the better grades, as I said, winning the honors. They are more likely to graduate and far more likely to go to college. Now, this phenomenon of girls outperforming boys is found throughout all ethnic groups, social classes. The girls are simply educationally more effective. But if we look at classroom practices, we see that they are just well suited to the needs of the average girl. And what has to happen is, I don't want to take anything away from girls, but I do think that, as I said, teachers' education methods have to accommodate the needs of boys, and right now they do not.
Well, how is this affecting boys' life after school? What happens when they graduate?
Well, we are now facing a situation where young women, on average, are far more educated than their male counterparts. If you look at, and if you look, in, as I said, in any ethnic group, you find this. It is staggering in the African-American community. I mean, most of the benefits of the civil rights movement in education accrued to women and not to men. And you look at Hispanics, the girls are better educated. Look at working-class whites, and you find a dramatic difference between the boys and the girls when it comes to going to college. Now, there was once a time where boys could be indifferent students. They could be poorly literate, barely literate, but they could get a high school diploma, and if they worked hard, they could make it into the middle class. This isn't true anymore. The economy has changed. It's a knowledge-based economy. You need education beyond high school, and that means that the student has to be committed to school and has to do well, and it's the girls who have the commitment and who are doing well. So we do have some theories about why this is happening.
Is this a problem only in the United States or in the entire West where boys are being feminized?
This is a global problem, and boys historically and throughout the world today are less amenable to classroom routines. They're less happy to be there. And typically, certainly in the United States and many parts of the world, the teachers are mainly women. And so the boys may feel uncomfortable. They may, in some cases, you know, little boys of preschool and kindergarten, rarely will they have a male teacher, certainly in the United States. But in the other countries, they're experimenting with new methods, boy-friendly methods. They're trying to help the boys. They're doing that in England. They're doing that in Canada. They're doing it in Australia. In the United States, we're doing nothing.
Do you think this is a reversible trend? What actually can be done, if anything, to stop this tidal wave of hate towards boys?
Oh, yes. It's easily reversible. You just have to take boys' interests into consideration. First of all, we have to acknowledge that boys and girls are different. On average, the typical little boy and typical little girl, they have different propensities and interests and styles of learning. And so a good classroom has to accommodate both, and especially must accommodate the high-spiritedness of a typical boy. There is going to be more rough and tumble play and more superhero narratives, and little boys shouldn't be punished for that or shamed for that. So one thing that must change right away is that just this unwelcome sign that we seem to put on the door of the schoolroom for boys. So that's one thing we can do, and that is happening in Britain and in Australia. They are trying to make the classrooms more suitable, allowing more play, more recess, more competition, making classrooms less sedentary, less feeling-centered, looking for books that boys like to read. There are lots of books that a little second or third grade boy or high school boy will find irresistible. But and in England, they are giving out reading lists. The government has provides teachers with reading lists of the books that are loved by boys. It's unimaginable the United States Department of Education would give such a reading list. That would be considered, I don't know, some of the women's groups would consider that reinforcing stereotypes. But a lot of kids embody those stereotypes, and we have to, that's why when I mean meeting them halfway, I'm not saying let boys be boys, but on the other hand, they are boys, and that is simply a reality to be dealt with, and they are not girls. So that's why I say we there's a lot that we could be doing.
Well, do you think these changes are even possible in the politically insane world in which we're living?
It's very hard right now because the women's lobby, and by that I mean groups like the American Association of University Women, the National Organization for Women, the National Women's Law Center, these groups consider efforts to help boys to be part of a backlash, and they consider it sexist, and they question the motives of those of us who are trying to help boys. And I think they're just so mistaken. I mean, if boys are in trouble, so are we all. And boys are the people with whom our daughters are going to build a future. And these are our sons, our brothers, our friends. And so you can't be – what I worry about is that it seems like many of our women's groups look at the world as a kind of zero-sum competition between Venus and Mars, and their job is to defend Venus. Well, what I'm saying is that we should be defending everyone, boys and girls. It shouldn't be a zero-sum game. And as I said, if one loses, both lose.
Where is your book available?
Well, I wrote The War Against Boys about 11 years ago, and Simon & Schuster asked me to rewrite it, to update it, which I have done, and it has just come out. It's on Kindle, and it's in book form via Amazon, The War Against Boys, and it's available in many bookstores.
Christina Hoff Sommers, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, an 89-year-old man who survived wounding on Okinawa in World War II, a little man named Shorty, was beaten to death by two blacks and died. A 22-year-old white male beaten to death in Oklahoma, and on it goes, and not a word out of the White House. He's on a bus tour. So, you know, I could go light, I could go heavy, I could do the easy way, I could do the hard way, I could do both ways. I think I'll do both ways. I'll do both ways now that you know what's boiling under the surface, that we have an overt fill-in-the-blank in the White House. Now, he could stop most of this violence against whites in this country. So could Eric Holder. See, the president holds a very powerful and persuasive position. He's the president of the United States. And many people believe in him. All he's got to do is get up and say and pound that podium. I want to speak right now to those of you out there who are getting out of control. You will be pursued to the ends of the earth. You will face hate crimes. You'll spend the rest of your life in prison. If ever you do this again, we'll catch you, if any of you do it. You're going away for life. But he didn't say that. No, he didn't say that. Here's some other stories for you. We'll go light and heavy. Now I'll do the light. I was watching the Discovery Channel last night, and I stumbled upon a science show about the effects of drugs on your brain. I like those shows. It shows you, you know, the inner workings, the graphics of the neurons. And I heard a somewhat familiar voice narrating how marijuana impairs your mind and how cocaine damages your heart. And then I learned it was Robin Williams narrating. So I chuckled to myself in bed, and Teddy turned over and laughed. And I thought, what's next from the media? Will it be Lindsay Lohan narrating the effects of alcohol on your brain? Or how about this from the media geniuses? How about Paris Hilton doing a show narrating the effects of nymphomania on your brain? Or we might see a show one day on Al Gore lecturing on the effects of lying and greed on your neurons. How about one on Obama narrating the effects of incompetence and fraud on your soul? Or we could see one day of Harvey Weinstein narrating the effects of saturating the movies with sex and violence and the such effects on the brain. Perhaps one day we'll see Al Sharpton narrating the effects of racial division in America on the brain. Or Anthony Weiner could narrate for Discovery Channel the effects of moral degeneracy on the human brain. That was the light part of the show. Meanwhile, a Department of Homeland Security so-called employee who is a black male maintains an anti-white, anti-gay site. Did you hear about this? This is a man who's charged by the Department of Homeland Security to buy guns and ammunition for immigration and customs agents. He maintains a website that is virulently anti-white and anti-gay. It masquerades as an entertainment site. The Atlantic Wire reported, for example, I'm not going to read you what he calls Obama because it's disgusting. I wouldn't even read it. I will not read it. It has to do with Obama's race. Now, he's a black male. Now, this man works for you. He works for the DHS. He's not been fired. He believes white people. Well, here's what he said. He said, we're going to have to kill a lot of whites. Warfare is imminent, and in order for black people to survive the 21st century, he says we're going to have to kill a lot of whites, more than our Christian hearts can possibly count. This gentleman who works for Janet Napolitano and Barack Obama has a website where he says white people are trying to homosexualize black men in order to make them more effeminate and weaker. He then praises laws in some African countries that criminalize LGBT behavior. He also so advocates the supremacy of black men above black women. And he's not been fired. Not only has he not been fired, my suspicion is he will soon be given a more important position under Eric Holder. He probably will go to the head of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, which is where he belongs. I don't think they think much differently than him in some quarters of this administration. Youngstown, Ohio. Great city, Youngstown. WKBN, David, you're on the Savage Nation from Ohio. What's on your mind?
The Catholic situation where you said that the Catholic Church is lobbying for legalization.
Yeah, heavily pushing for amnesty for 30, 50, 70 million illegal aliens. What do you think about that?
Well, the pews need filled. More needs to go into the collection basket. I know that even, and they're closing churches, too. So it's coming from both the Vatican and I bet at the, you know, the diocese's level. Because here in Cleveland, there was a situation where a bunch of Catholic churches were being forced to close by Vatican order.
So it's a business decision. It's not a spiritual decision. And yet they're pushing it as though it's a matter of humanity. Catholic bishops and priests across the country are going to start preaching in favor of amnesty. Advertising, phone calls directed at Catholic lawmakers, and prayer marches in districts where the issue is controversial. And we know what this is. It's embarrassing. First of all, let me start at the top. It's illegal. It is illegal for the churches to be doing this. But because they're in cahoots with Obama, they're getting away with it. It is crossing a line of a separation of church and state, is it not? And yet the rats in the ACLU, who every time they see an ACLU monument, they want to blow it up or jackhammer it out, have nothing to say when a bunch of Catholic, you know, activists are pushing for amnesty simply because they want their pews filled?
They want to look good, too. They want to be compassionate.
I hear you've been listening to the show for a while. You've learned how to pull the S's, huh?
I love your show. It's the highlight of my night.
I think we should emphasize the in the compassionate. They want to look compassionate.
Right.
They want to look compassionate.
I got one more question.
What is it?
I have the vitamin C crystals. What's the best way to dissolve them? I've shaken so hard. I don't want to put them in hot tea because of that.
No, it's a very good question. It's hard to dissolve. Let's say you're taking a powdered vitamin C, ascorbate. Fine. Great stuff. I've lived on it for 40 years. And so have my children, and many people have been saved with it if they know how to use it. Many different ways. Cold water is hard. It will not go into solution rapidly. A little warm water is pretty good. Tea isn't the bad way if you like tea. But if you don't have time for the tea, just run some warm tap water out of your sink. I mean, in Youngstown, of course, that's risking a toxic death. But warm water would work. So that's the answer. That's all. One flat teaspoon is approximately 4,000 milligrams or 4 grams, David. Thanks for the call. 855-407-282. 855-407-282. 855-407-SAVAGE. MichaelSavage.com. 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 No gender reassignment surgery for Bradley Manning. Crazy. What a crazy world. The guy gets caught as a spy. He's given 35 years, suddenly tells us he was a woman trapped in a man's body, and he wants gender reassignment surgery from the Army at York. The Army provides no sex change surgery or hormone therapy because it's an evil institution. See, the Army is very evil because it's really given to protecting America, not to doing the social bidding of the psychotic, verminous left. Look, the news is very agitating and depressing. When you see this guy Shorty, you know, that's a heartbreak. Okay, it's bad enough being a 22-year-old kid getting whacked for no reason by the black guys who wanted, a gang initiation, shoot a white guy. That's a hate crime. They should be given the death sentence. Now an 89-year-old guy who survives a battle on Okinawa, retired playing pool and gets beaten up by two black teens? Not one word from the media? Not one word from Obama who's on his bus tour? That's very disturbing. It's heartbreaking and disturbing because you start to say to yourself, this interracial violence of black on white is becoming an epidemic. It's not just two cases here. There are quite a few, by the way, and there's a reason for it. There's somehow a wink-wink coming from on top, isn't there? Or not? Interracial violence of black-on-white crime is an epidemic in America. Is it related in some way to the filthy Filner in San Diego? No. Is it related to yellow cake uranium? No. Is it related to the economy? No. Is it related to the silence of Obama and Holder and the media? I'll let you figure it out.
Savage.